Our journey has never been one of shortcuts or settling for less. It's not been the path for the faint-hearted, for those who prefer leisure over work or seek only the pleasures of riches and fame. Rather, it has been the risk-takers, the doers, the maker of things. Some celebrated, but more often men and women obscure in their labour, who have carried us up the long, rugged path towards prosperity and freedom. For us, they packed up their few worldly possessions and travelled across oceans in search of a new life. For us, they toiled in sweatshops and settled the West, endured the lash of the whip and ploughed the hard earth. For us, they fought and died in places like Concord and Gettysburg, Normandy and Cassan. You'll recognise the words from Barack Obama's inauguration speech in 2009. It was an address that commended personal biblical values such as truth, honesty and hard work, courage, humility, generosity and sacrifice, concern for the poor and respect for the others, virtues that were key to his vision of the future for America. It was a speech that brought to life what had been the poster boy image of an America that longed for equality and justice. With that presidency drawing to an end, do we see signs on a distant shore of the kind of change that sought repentance of the past, that recognised the greed and irresponsibility on the part of some, that acknowledged the collective failure to make hard choices and prepare the nation for a new age, that rejected as false the choice between our safety and our ideals? In the midst of a new campaign for the president, are we hearing cries of the continuation of the ideals, or is the new poster image of American politics a cartoon image of the extremes of conservatism, represented by Donald Trump and Sarah Palin this week? There's nothing cartoonish about Jesus, but it's the poster boy image that I want to stick with for a while as we approach our biblical texts this morning. I'm not sure how comfortable we might feel about calling Jesus a poster boy for Judaism, but as we enter the temple with Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, we are at first given an image of the ideal visiting rabbi. Jesus has returned from his spell in the wilderness, and there is an interest in his presence in Galilee, not just his hometown of Nazareth. Our first impression of this man arriving at the temple is that people are impressed with what the local boy has become. He spent time examining his faith and has a habit of attending worship regularly. People are willing to call him teacher, for they feel they can clearly see his faith worn as a garment and shared like morsels to chew upon. As a visiting preacher, as someone who is respected by local people, as a local boy who's grown in faith, Jesus is invited to preach on the text for that day. He doesn't pick what he's to read. Instead, the scroll for the day is handed to him. He reads words from Isaiah. Likely, they're words that he reads first in Hebrew, and then either Jesus or himself or another teacher would have translated those words into Aramaic, ensuring that those who only spoke Aramaic or were more fluent in the local dialect fully understood what was being said. Silence fills the space as the watching eyes of local people wait to see what the boy has to say. They've watched him grow. This is Joseph's boy, the carpenter's son. Perhaps he's been in some of their homes, sharing meals as a child, running through the streets with the other boys, catching the eyes of the girls as he worked away learning his father's trade. As he hands back the scroll, there's an expectancy of what he might say that comes from the pride of people who have been watching a young person grow and their coming of age and potential within that community. But what they hear is not what they expect. Fresh from his experience in the wilderness and full of God's Spirit, Jesus recognises within what he has read that there's a task to be done. In reading from Isaiah, Jesus sees that there's divine authority for the needs that his actions and words are desperate to meet. But it's his verbal recognition of his task as Messiah that will bring about the discomfort and conflict that follows amongst the people who thought they knew him. How can what he says really be true? They're waiting for this Messiah. How can the Messiah possibly be among them? Be one of them. By the time the Gospel of Luke is being written, many of the Jews had already rejected Jesus and his mission. So it's vital that the Gospel emphasizes that he is the Messiah, fulfilling the prophecies that had been given to the Jewish people so that they might have hope. But the Gospel also makes clear that even in his own time, amongst people who knew him, there would be a lack of recognition of who he was. In taking the prophecy of Isaiah upon himself, Jesus rejects the possible notion that he is the poster boy for Judaism locally. He's not rejecting faith. Instead, he's rejecting the constructs that humanity have placed upon the faith. He takes people back to the heart of what the love of God seeks to do amongst humanity. To speak of God's good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom to prisoners, to find sight for those who are blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. For ordinary people, the reality that these things could be true must have been frightening. For those of a spiritual nature who could see that this might challenge the steady acceptance of the way faith was practiced, it offered a threat to their authority. Yet Jesus makes clear that God, as found in him, would turn the expected order of life upon its head. What we see in both Nehemiah and in Luke's Gospel is an importance placed on the Word of God as the opportunity to transform the present day existence. In Nehemiah, that treasuring of the Word and the bringing of it to be read in the midst of community life in the market square brings about an emotional response. If you were really listening, you would have heard they wept at the words they heard. The Word of God challenges their hearts and their minds to change. Luke's Gospel captures the expectation of those who've come to hear one of their own read. There's a real excitement because they've played their part in the shaping of a young life. What's he become? What will he say? What can they learn from him? Yesterday, I spent the day travelling to Killernan and Knockbane in the Presbytery of Ross for the joint ordination of Susan Cord and James Bissett. Now, some of you will remember Susan because she did a very brief spell here doing a little bit of visiting and sometimes helping in worship. And others of you will know James because on a Wednesday he occasionally helped with prayers. But Susan has now been called as the minister of the charge of Killernan and Knockbane. And like many folk, I believe that going on the bus is the best part because you get to sing the songs and take part in the nonsense. So I went to Dalgetty and climbed on the bus. And on that bus were folk from Dalgetty Church who had watched her grow to be the person she is now, as she was their probationer. And there were folk from her home congregation in Kirkcaldy. They were all excited as they headed off to see this new place that Susan and James were settling. Excited because they had been part of the journey and the shaping and watched them grow. And now they were letting them go off and do their own thing. In baptism today, we begin the shaping of a young life with our valuing of what we know of God. We should be excited about the potential of this young one, excited about the potential of any young ones, excited about the potential of those who are around us, welcoming and wondering when anyone returns, that we might mark the stage on their faith journey. In his book, Eternal Life, A New Vision Beyond Religion, Beyond Theism, Beyond Heaven and Hell, the former bishop, John Shelby Spong, writes, "The goal of all religion is not to prepare us to enter the next life. It is a call to live now, to be now, and in that way to taste what it means to be part of a life that is eternal, a love that is barrier-free, and the being of a fully self-conscious humanity." Faith is a reminder that we're not asked to be poster-polished Christians that present an unrealistic ideal. Instead, we are asked to live with the reality of who we are and the world we live in, and challenge both of those with the difference that knowing what it means to share God's love beyond those we're comfortable with. So in working together, we challenge each other. We rub along that in the moments when it works, Christ's presence rises before us, visible for more than us to see. If God has a manifesto, then that manifesto is discovering that working together in Christ's name, we want to create a better world, a place where heaven is present and all have a place and are considered valuable. I have two quotes I want to use before I finish. The first comes from the Three Stooges. There's a story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody and Nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about it because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realised that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. And there's another story, the story of Jamie Scott. Jamie Scott was trying out for a part in the school play. His mother knew he'd set his heart on being in it, though she feared he might not be picked. On the day when the parts were awarded, she went to collect Jamie from school. He rushed up to her, eyes shining with pride and excitement. "Guess what, Mum?" he shouted, and then said these words, "I've been chosen to clap and cheer." If we take seriously the words that are spoken in the heart of our community each week, then may we find that we all have a part to play, from the welcome given, the smile offered, the song sung, the words said, the prayers raised, the encouragement shared, and the mission taken to this community. Amen.